is risen. We're so glad that you could be here with us this morning as we celebrate Christ's victory over death. We know that it's not just an Easter Sunday morning thing, but we know that it's the way that we live our lives. But today is just special because of that, right? Would you please stand? We're going to sing together, and we can stand in confidence knowing that we are more than conquerors through Christ. When my hope and strength is gone, you're the one who calls me on. You are the life, you are the fight that's in my soul. Oh, your resurrection power burns like fire in my heart. When waters rise, I lift my eyes up to your throne.
We are ever so grateful just eternally grateful that anyone would love us enough to die for us. But you didn't stay in the grave. You broke all the rules. You spent some time in the tomb, and then that stone was rolled away, and you rose again. And because of that, every person in this room can have hope beyond this life, can have hope of eternal life. Lord Jesus Christ, we are grateful, and we want you to know it, not just this morning, but every breath of our lives. Thank you. Thank you so much. In your blessed name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. All right. Well, it is great to have you here this morning. My name is Dennis. We have a few things for you as we get started. Sometime during the service, we're going to ask you to go ahead, and on the inside of your folder, there's a card. If you'd fill that out, that would be great. And if this is like your first time with us, first time in a long time, what we'd love for you to do is bring your card to the door at the end. We have a gift for you. And I just, you know, let you know about this. Sometimes you wonder, okay, what do they do with those cards? Don't worry, we're not going to come see you this afternoon. You got Easter dinner and all that. Mostly it's just to have the opportunity to be able to take that name and to be able to pray for you. Everybody needs prayer. And we love to be able to do that for you. And then we have a gift for you as well that we want you to have as you're leaving today. So we're just really glad that you chose to spend your Easter here today. As Dana said just a little bit ago, I mean, truly, we celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. But it is good, just like your birthday. We celebrate the fact that you're alive every day. But once a year, we say, hey, it's your birthday. Pull out the cake. And we celebrate that. And today's the day to be able to celebrate the fact that Jesus is risen. Part of that celebration is to make sure that we hear the story again and that the story is really clear. The Apostle John does a beautiful job recounting the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He was an eyewitness to all of it. And eyewitness evidence is credible, it is factual, and it's necessary in order to know whether or not we can believe what we've been told. So he was there and he was able to tell us what happened the first day when Jesus came back from the dead. Brian's going to be reading that to us this morning. It's found in John chapter 20. And then from there, we're going to have a couple of videos along the way that, again, just reinforce the story so that we don't forget just the tremendous miracle that took place on this Easter Sunday.
Very early Sunday morning, before sunrise, Mary Magdalene made her way to the tomb. And when she arrived, she discovered that the stone that sealed the entrance to the tomb was moved away. So she went running as fast as she could to go tell Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She told them, "They've taken the Lord's body from the tomb, and I don't know where it is." Then Peter and the other disciple jumped up and ran to the tomb to go see for themselves. They started out together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He didn't enter the tomb, but just peeked in and saw only linen cloths lying there. Then Peter came in behind him and went right to the tomb. He too noticed the linen cloths lying there, but the burial cloth that had been on Jesus' head had been rolled up and placed separate from the other cloths. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first went in, and after one look, he believed. For until then, they hadn't understood what the scriptures had prophesied, that he was destined to rise from the dead. Puzzled, Peter and the other disciple then left and went back to their homes. Mary arrived back at the tomb, broken and sobbing. She stooped to peer inside, and through her tears she saw two angels in dazzling white robes sitting where Jesus' body had been laid, one at the head and one at the feet. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" they asked. Mary answered, "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." Then she turned around to leave, and there was Jesus standing right in front of her. But she didn't realize at first that it was him. He said to her, "Dear woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Mary answered, thinking it was only the gardener, "Sir, if you have taken away his body somewhere else, please tell me. I will go and..." "Mary," Jesus interrupted her. Turning to face him, she said, "Rabboni." Jesus cautioned her, "Mary, don't hold on to me for now, for I haven't yet ascended to God, my Father. And he's not only my Father and God, but he's your Father and your God. Now go to my brothers and tell them what I've told you, that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Then Mary Magdalene left to inform the other disciples of her encounter with Jesus. "I have seen the Lord," she told them, and she gave them his message. That evening, the disciples gathered together, and because they were afraid of the reprisals from the Jewish leaders, they had locked the doors to the place where they met. But suddenly, Jesus appeared among them and said, "Peace to you." Then he showed them the wounds in his hands and in his side. They were overjoyed to see the Lord with their own eyes. Jesus repeated his greeting, "Peace to you." And he told them, "Just as the Father has sent me, now I am sending you." Then, taking a deep breath, he blew on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I'm sorry. "I send you to preach the forgiveness of sins, and the people's sins will be forgiven. But if you don't proclaim for the forgiveness of their sins, they will remain guilty." One of the 12 wasn't present when Jesus appeared to them. It was Thomas, whose nickname was the Twin. So the disciples informed him, "When we have seen the Lord with our own eyes, that's when we'll believe." Still unconvinced, Thomas replied, "There's no way I'm going to believe this unless I personally touch the wounds of the nails in his hands, touch them with my finger, and put my hand in the wound of his side where he was pierced." Then 8 days later, Thomas and all the others were in the house together. And even though all the doors were locked, Jesus suddenly manifested before them. "Peace to you," he said. Then looking into Thomas's eyes, he said, "Put your finger here in the wounds of my hands. Here, put your hand into the wound of my side and see for yourself. Thomas, don't give in to your doubts any longer. Just believe." Then the words spilled out of his heart, "You are my Lord and you are my God." Jesus responded, "Thomas, now that you have seen me, you believe. But there are those who have never seen me with their eyes, but have believed in me with their hearts, and they will be blessed even more." Jesus went on to do many more miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not even included in this book. But all that is recorded here is so that you will fully believe that Jesus, the Anointed One, the Son of God, and that through your faith in him, you will experience eternal life by the power of his name.
Let me tell you a story. You may not believe me. I barely believe it myself. But I can't dispute what my soul knows.
Peter! John!
It's all true.
Come see this!
Everything he said.
The tomb!
Every impossible detail.
It's empty!
It's all true. There may be days when we deny.
I don't know him.
When our faith loses its footing.
You have me confused. I don't know him.
And we stumble along our way.
I said I don't know him!
If that day comes. we remember. What has been found? What has been defeated? What has been forgiven? What was once dead has new life. What was once old has been made new. What was once finite has been made eternal. May we remember and follow the risen way.
Would you please stand?
I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the
this morning we have a new song for you. And I just want you to listen to the scripture, kind of prime your minds and your hearts before we sing these words. Romans 6, out of the sixth chapter of Romans, verses 6 through 9. We know that our old selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. Child of God.
So Heavenly Father, we thank you for dying on the cross so that we could be set free. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Please be seated.
My name is Thomas, and I struggle with doubt. I followed Jesus for years, from the very first day he called me. I saw things so amazing they defied explanation. I believed. But then things fell apart. I witnessed the betrayal that led to the cruel march to Calvary and his agonizing crucifixion. I survived, but everyone I knew scattered. My world collapsed. Then came news of the empty tomb, the very first Easter. But I resisted. The image of his broken, lifeless body was still burned into my memory. I experienced his death. Then I couldn't believe. Not until I see the scars with my own eyes and touch them with my own hands, I told the others. I wasn't ready to put my trust in something again. But Jesus came to me. He knew my doubts. He even named them. But he wasn't angry. He didn't rebuke me or dismiss me. He looked at me with those familiar eyes and offered me his scarred hands and side. In that moment, I experienced his resurrection, and I believed. I know firsthand it's difficult to believe in what you can't see. And yet all around you are people whose lives and stories have scars that bear witness to the meaning of Easter. Yes, these people have been wounded, but they've experienced redemption and healing through Jesus. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection were meant to rescue the doubters, the debtors, and the broken. People like you and me. He met my doubts with grace and love, and he only asked one thing of me. Believe.
Pray with me, would you? God, in the next couple of moments, we get the chance again to hear of what your son did for us and what our sin did to us. Open our ears in a way that they've not been opened before. Open our hearts to hear the true, fantastic love that you have poured out for us. Help us to hear, and then, as the invitation was given to Thomas, help us to believe as well. In Jesus' name, amen. I would have to admit to you that what I had planned for today got hijacked. It got hijacked by the reality of life this week. I had a plan. I had a direction I was going. And then Thursday morning, I was standing at the house next door with a person who's become a friend who is now in the presence of Jesus. And as I stood there, I found myself in that moment again just going, you know, I have a lot of jobs. A lot of things that I do. Some of them are really fun. Some of them, yeah, not so much. Just like your job. But there's one job that I have more than any other, and that's to make sure that everybody that gets the chance to hear on a Sunday morning or throughout the week, everybody that gets a chance to hear knows without question that when their moment comes, they know they're going to be in the presence of Jesus. They don't have to wonder it, think it, hope it, trust. You know, they know. The Bible says you can know that you have eternal life. And in that moment, as I'm standing with a body, but not the person, thinking, we got to talk about this again. I'm not responsible for you believing, but I'm responsible for you hearing. I'm responsible for you knowing. And so I'm going to try again. You can pretend we're sitting at Cracker Barrel. I like Cracker Barrel. You can buy. And we're sitting there. And I just want to tell you again how it works. But I have the advantage of having slides along, okay? You see, because I'm still struggling with why some of you go, yeah, not now, or yeah, not never. I just, the God thing, don't need it. I don't need it. And if the God thing sounds disrespectful to you, I'm sorry, but that's the way some people think. I don't need it. I don't need him. And I try thinking through, what would cause a person to say, I don't need God? What would cause a person to say, I don't want to know what happens after life? I don't want to know. And so I'm thinking through it this week, and I thought, well, one reason certainly is that some people think they're good enough. I'm good enough. I mean, yeah, I'm not perfect, but I'm good enough. And, you know, good enough is good enough. And so I was thinking through, you know, some of the traditions that we have at Easter, and one of them is coloring eggs. I don't know if you're an egg coloring family. Personally, we're a plastic egg factory family. You know, I don't know that we've ever colored an egg. Maybe we have. I'm usually busy on Easter weekend, but anyway, they open up. There are pennies in our eggs, and chocolate and fun stuff, not yolks and whites. But anyway, some of you like to color eggs. So you've colored up the eggs, and they're beautiful. In fact, going online, and I'm like, wow, they're getting really creative with egg coloring. It's really cool, you know? And your kid this afternoon, I don't know. I colored eggs growing up. I don't know if I ever ate them, but you should, right? They're good for you. So let's just imagine your kid is an egg lover, and your kid says, Mom, Dad, I want to eat my eggs. It's time. I want to eat my eggs. And so they get out the basket. They start cracking those puppies open. They crack open the first one. They eat it. They crack open the second one. They eat it. The third one they crack open, and they walk up to you and say, Mom, Dad, what's this? What's this? What's this thing in here? And you know, you as a parent go, how many have you eaten? Two. All right, well, the third won't kill you. Go ahead. Just slop that thing down. Go ahead. Suck it on in. It'll balance out with the others. You'll be just fine. You'll be just fine. What's the big deal? Come on. You can do it. I know. I'm going to remove the picture. Some of you are looking down. You can't bear it anymore. You're like, do I look at the ugly guy or do I look at the ugly egg? I'm looking at the floor and praying. You know you wouldn't have your kid eat the egg. You wouldn't do it. No way. It's not like it all balances out in the end. One bad egg is one bad egg. The Bible tells us we are all infected and impure with sin. Every one of us. Every one of us has this infection called sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. We think we have good stuff to offer to God. I don't know if you've ever been in this spot I have where I'm working on something that involves grease, whether it's a lawnmower or you name it, and you're kind of trying to clean it up and you get grease on that rag and then you wipe your hand with it and before you know it, your hand is filthy and everything else. That's our good. Those are the best of our eggs. The best of our eggs are filth. That's what the Bible says. That's not me. That's what the Bible says. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. So good enough isn't good enough. But maybe your approach is, you know, God's got to populate heaven with someone, and I'm on the curve. I'm doing okay. I'm better than most other people. So we're going to play a little game this morning. We'll call it high-low. High-low involves a ladder. It involves my son, and involves Bob Coyne for safety's sake, who's going to come hold the ladder. And we're going to have on this ladder a scale. We've already put God at the top. There's no other place you can put God. And when I do this, I like to put Satan under the leg of the ladder because he doesn't even deserve a spot on the ladder in terms of his evilness. This is the scale of good and evil, all right? You have God as absolute perfection, and you have Satan holding up the leg of the ladder, all right? So he's going to run up and down and put these based on where you say they should go. This is a little bit like The Price is Right, okay? So nobody jumping, though. And you're okay, just yell out, no jumping. All right, so where are you going to put Hitler? Really low, right? You're probably touching Satan, you think? Yeah, put him way, way, way down there. Way, way down, way down, way down, way down. Where are you putting Mother Teresa? Climb, little boy. Go ahead. Get on up there. Climb, climb, climb. Tell him when to stop. You're going to stop him there? You want to give her more? All right, give her a little more. You want a little more? She can't touch God, but Let's put her there. That's a good spot. Okay, Mother Teresa, good deal. Good deal, all right? This is going to be a tough one for you. Where are you going to put Bin Laden? See, you put Hitler so low, and now you're like, ah, should we move Hitler up to put Bin Laden below him? Or Hitler still stays lowest, Bin Laden above? The same. All right, put him the same. Brian, hurry up. Come on. Run. I've only got like 15 minutes. All right. This is like home. Come on. Whip. Go. All right, so Bin Laden, way down there. Now, okay. Billy Graham. Way up? You're going, is Billy Graham between God and Mother Teresa? Below? Where do you want to put it? Just start walking. He's not down here, so keep going. Go on. Go. Say stop when you want to say stop. All right. Put him somewhere in there. We get the idea. There we go. Make him friends. Okay, so we got both of them. Now, this one's going to be challenging. The person sitting next to you, where are you going to put them? Really? Just put him somewhere in the middle there. We got to be nice. It's church. All right. How about this one? Insert your name here. Don't yell. Where are you putting you? Yeah, well, just hold on to you. Just let me have you. Thanks. You know, nobody in the room is thinking I'm worse than Bin Laden and Hitler. I don't think anyone in the room, hopefully, is thinking I'm better than Mother Teresa and Billy Graham, just in terms of goodness. So we're probably, and the person next to you, you'll be polite and put them above you, but in reality, you're just above them. So you're somewhere in that stretch of three rungs right in there, right in the middle. And here's the problem with that. God says, you want an automatic pass to heaven? You got to be equal to me. You got to be perfect. Halfway up the ladder, three quarters of the ladder, 9/10 up the ladder, not good enough. You have to be perfect. Now, here's the thing. You had any rotten eggs in your life? Not the worst. I mean, you don't have bodies buried in the basement. We get that. But we all have rotten eggs in our life. One rotten egg makes us unequal to God. One rotten egg puts us in need. As the scripture says, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one seeks God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good. Not a single one. That's what God says about us. So, good enough isn't good enough. Better than the guy or woman next to me isn't enough. We get that. The third of us, some of us have kind of this Thomas factor going, you know, I'm not going to believe unless I touch, unless I see. I need facts. And the fact is, there's no way I can prove God exists. I mean, I can't. You can't. We can't prove it. Beyond shadow of doubt, we can't look in a room and go, oh, there he is. I see him. There he is. Okay? That's hard. Or maybe it's like, okay, I believe God exists. I just don't believe he is who you say he is. The God in my life does not feel very good. The God in my life, there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of misery. I look around at the world and I'm like, I don't know why I'd want a friendship with that God. So you struggle with these things. You struggle. And you're like, I need proof. So a few weeks back, actually several weeks back into winter, I was doing some work around the church. And in the corner of the building, there was something laying there. And I came closer and it was a friend of ours, a church friend. His name is Mr. Kitty. And Mr. Kitty had passed from this life. And it was sad because our youth group loves Mr. Kitty, and you know, church, he greets us at the door on Sunday mornings. Mr. Kitty's there all the time. So I got the snow shovel out. It's ground, frozen ground. And I took him out to the front of the property because that's where Mr. Kitty and Dennis like to play. So I'm not kidding. This cat was like, everywhere I went, this cat would go. He'd like a little puppy. He'd sit there with you. I was working outside. He'd just sit and watch me. And I'm like, oh. And the ground's frozen. I can't bury this cat. So I put him over the silt fence to the other side where he liked to live. Before you know it, the neighbor leaves a note on Brian's car. We can't find Mr. Kitty. Picture of him, everything else. I'm like, okay, I got to go tell him Mr. Kitty is gone. He's dead. So I went back over to the silt fence, and Mr. Kitty is not there. He is. His body's gone. I'm like, oh, no, the coyotes got Mr. Kitty. This is not good news. But I couldn't find any fur. I couldn't find any bones. I couldn't find anything. And so it was Sunday morning. Sitting at the soundboard, and Brian comes walking in. You're not going to believe this. Mr. Kitty is alive. And I'm like, would you stop it? Brian's known for mean, cruel jokes. So I'm like, stop it. I love Mr. Kitty. Don't do this. No, serious. Come outside. Look, Mr. Kitty is alive. And go out front, and there's that stinking cat. Guy, this cat was dead. You're like, well, it wasn't Mr. Kitty. It was Mr. Kitty. I'm telling you, it was Mr. Kitty. He was stiff as a board. He was gone. He was gone. He was dead. And there's Mr. Kitty. I am not kidding you. To this moment, when I see that cat, I go, I'm not sure that's really Mr. Kitty. I saw his dead body. He was gone. He was History Channel. And now there he is, walking around with me, same personality, same fur, same everything. I'm with you. I still don't believe. It's a replacement Mr. Kitty. I saw the dead Mr. Kitty. And, you know, so I'm in the camp of, even if I could put my hand on him, I'm like, it's not Mr. Kitty. Okay, so you're only church in America this morning that had someone climb a ladder and tell a dead cat story on Easter Sunday. But Jesus says, put your fingers here, look at my hand, put your hand in my wounds, in my side, don't be faithless any longer, believe. To which Thomas says, my Lord and my God. He gets to see, he gets to touch the Lord, he knows this is the same person he's been with for 3 years. And then comes this beautiful verse, I think more beautiful than all the rest of the story. Jesus says, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. You see, I am not going to be able to give you a lock solid folder full of proof to say, here's where God lives. Go see him. Go touch him. He's there. It requires faith to have a relationship with God. And some of you are like, I don't like faith. Oh, well, that's the rules. You can like it. You cannot like it. That's the rules. The way we have a relationship with God is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. And I don't want that moment to come in your life that you're at the end of your life and you're still going, you know what? I haven't been that bad. One bad egg isn't bad enough. I'm better than my neighbor. That's good enough. I don't want that moment to come in your life that you're saying, I don't have to worry about this. There is no eternity. Because there is. I'm not going to worry about God because he's not who I want him to be. Oh, well. By faith in Jesus Christ, we are saved. By grace through faith. That's all it's about. So I want to encourage you to do something maybe later in this morning, or maybe later in the week, inside of your folder, down in the back. This says, you matter to God, and explains how to have a relationship with God, what it's all about. And then there's a prayer listed there. Lord Jesus Christ, I admit that I am weaker and more sinful than I ever believed, but through you, I am more loved and accepted than I ever dared hope. I thank you for paying my debt of sin, bearing my punishment, and offering forgiveness. I turn from my sins and trust in you as my Savior. That's the first step of a relationship with God. It is only then that the next time you show up and these guys sing that song, you'll be able to sing at the top of your lungs, I am a child of God. And he wants you to be his child. There's no other way but through Jesus. Pray with me. Now, God in heaven, Our prayer is that we will have the wisdom and the softness, the brokenness of heart, the sorrow over sin, the willingness to release whatever it is we're holding on to that keeps us from just saying, God, I embrace you. Eternity is real. We leave this life and we do go somewhere else. And we want to be absolutely confident that the place we go is eternity with you. You made us for yourself. You designed us for eternal life with you. How sad it would be to miss the Creator's intention and not be eternally with God. Open our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our servers are going to come right now and receive the offering. And if you have that card that you filled out, you can put it in there. And again, if it's your first time, bring the card to the door because we have a gift that we want to give you. We're starting a new series in April. Did you know that?
Didn't, but
you
now
can
I
see
do.
It, so
I
you know what
see, yeah.
it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
New
yeah.
series in April. So this whole American Idol thing is coming to an end. Some of you go, yay, I finally got my TV back. But anyway.
I can't believe it's still going.
It's coming to an end, and what we're going to talk about is uniquely American idols. What are the things that just, the gods that we tend to worship as Americans? So we're going to be talking about that in April and on into May. We hope that you'll join us for that series as we do. There's some other things you can get involved in. We're about to sign up for groups again, journey groups. You want to talk about those a little?
Yeah, so winter journey groups actually just wrapped up within the last week or two, and we're kicking off spring right in the first week of April. So if you were in one of those groups, you can continue with it. But if you weren't a part of one during the winter and you want to jump on board, feel free. You can go on to the church website, southfieldchurch.com, go to the journey groups tab, and you'll see all of the options that are available. So we've got Armor of God on Tuesday nights for ladies. We've got a one-hour group for guys who work from 6:30 to 7:30. There's all kinds of opportunities to get involved there. So again, go ahead and check out what might fit for you, fit your schedule. There's opportunities for everybody, newcomers, everything. So please feel free to go check it out on the website and get signed up.
The website will give you much further descriptions. I'm excited about the outdoor life one, so it's not like we're going to be camping for an hour and a half or something, but we have a lot of little outdoor stuff that needs to be done around here, and we decided what we're going to do is offer a group that is really family-oriented. So, you know, some of you have been complaining, when's my kid going to learn to work? We'll teach them. So bring them along, and we'll have some fun doing some projects around church and doing that. And I got to tell you, the one-hour group on Thursdays, if you've not tried that out yet, you're a guy, come on out. I know for a lot of you, Thursday morning, you're like blurry-eyed. Oh, my goodness, how can I handle this? We kind of start slow, and then we just usually spend time in the morning talking about a question, talking about something that, or one of the recent questions was, what were your expectations of marriage before you got married? Kind of fun. None of us had really thought about that too deeply. We're guys. So anyway, you got that going. Day camp is coming just in case people don't normally come here. What are the dates?
Yeah, July 11 to 14. And the cost is $60 per student, which is amazing. And it'll run from 9:30 to 3:30, again, that week, July 11 to 14. And there's actually a side announcement. If you check out your bulletin today, you'll see that we're looking for farm animals or exotic animals. If you have something cool, a crazy animal that, you know, you wouldn't, like, we don't want, Mr. Kitty will probably show up, but we want some exotic things. So if you have one of those or you know how to get a hold of one of those, go ahead and check out or contact Daisy Austin at theaustinzoo@comcast.net. Again, that's kind of funny in and of itself,
it is,
right?
It is.
So,
ironic.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Go ahead and you can get involved that way.
That's cool. That's great. Very good. And group tonight and Wednesday.
Yeah, so we are off for Revive and Refuge this week, taking spring break off, and then we'll get right back into it next week. So again, if you're new to us, if you are a high schooler, we normally meet Sunday nights from 6 to 8. And again, it's a really cool time with that. And then junior hires meet on Wednesday nights from 6:30 to 8:30. So pretty much every other week except this week, come on out and join us. Because again, it's a fun time where we get to throw stuff at each other and learn about God too.
Cool. One more thing. You're going away for the week. Where are you going?
I am. I'm going back to Canada. So, you know, here it's spring break and you're supposed to go like escape this junk Chicago weather. And I'm going to snow.
So going with Riley's family to revisit where you got engaged?
Yeah. So this trip will be a lot less stressful.
He was breathing on me last year. It was kind of fun. Yeah.
I don't have to worry about a ring getting pulled out and security. And, yeah, it'll be good.
Very good. Well, thank you, sir. Good stuff. So our church, we were looking at a copier recently, you know, trying to set up an office and whatever. Salesman come in. He goes through all of his pitch telling us why they're the best company in the universe and this is the best model and all this stuff. And he comes to the end and he does his, so you ready to purchase? I'm like, no. Kidding me? I mean, I don't buy things on the spot. And you know, gotten a couple follow-up calls, and I'm like, yeah, not yet, not ready. That's buying a copier. What we talked about today is life and death, eternal life, a relationship with God, Jesus being the forgiver of your sin and the leader of your life. And honestly, I suspect a few of you are going, sounds great, but I am not ready. I am not ready. So here's the thing on that. Like I said, in your folder, there's that prayer. Maybe later today or sometime in the very near future, you will be ready. And you can just take that and read it in a place that's meaningful to you and read it with sincerity and start that relationship with God. Maybe you need to know more. I'll have some of these at the door. It's called The Story. If you just need to know more, say, hey, I need to know more. I'll hand you one. I won't get into discussion. I'll hand you one, okay? So maybe that'll be helpful. But do understand this. There have been people who attended church on one Sunday who didn't come the next Sunday. Because from one Sunday to the next, God said, it's time. And you don't control that. You have no guarantees. So don't keep pushing it off. You can't keep pushing it off. You've got to choose. Band is coming up, and as they do, I'm going to pray. Well, God in heaven, as we walk from this place today, we walk away from a celebration of your death, burial, and resurrection, but we never walk away from you. You are always there. You are always present. You're always with us. And God, I pray that you would give us an intense awareness of your presence and power this week. Help us to think through these facts that we may be good, but we're not good enough. That we may be better than others, but we are not God. That we might have doubts about whether you are and who you are. And you call on us to trust you. Move us in that direction, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Would you please stand as we sing this morning?
Don't.
So I don't want to be morbid, but 100 years from now, we'll all be dead. March 27th, whatever year that is, let's all gather in heaven. This was choir practice. And y'all did a pretty good job, all right? And we'll just have a little Southfield section, and we'll let God know, live and in person, just how much we love him. Thank you so much for spending your Easter Sunday with us. We really appreciate that. And again, if you have that card, there'll be someone at the door. Actually, Brian will be there until John gets debased. And you can get that. And I have these ones in case you want to learn more. One other thing. For some of you, a conversation might be needed. You just need to talk things through. So I'll offer the conversation. Now, this is pretty easy. Do you know the name of the church you're at this morning? Southfield. Yeah, Southfield Church. Good. Good answer. Good answer. Southfield Church. Put a .com on that. My name's Dennis. Dennis at southfieldchurch.com. In case you can't remember Dennis, just remember that Dennis backward is sinned, all right? So now you're going to be like emailing sinned at southfieldchurch.com. And anyway, but, you know, just a little thing to kind of make you think. Dennis at southfieldchurch.com. You email me and we can talk, all right? Because I'd love to have that conversation with you to make sure that you're part of that choir 100 years from now. Have a great day. We'll see you.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my
my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea.